This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Noa ia.
Talofa lava.
Māori.
Kia orana.
Malo elele.
Talofa.
Nisa bolavanaka.
Fakalofa lahi atu.
Malo ni.
Halo ologeta.
Halo ologeta.
Tēnā koto katoa.
And warm Pacific greetings.
Every year since 2016, Polyfest has given hundreds of local Pacifica students and their families a chance to celebrate who they are and showcase their many cultures in a full day of performance, food and personal expression.
Brought to you by SPECPAC, specifically Pacific and Need Trust, New Economic and Enterprise Development Trust, the festival is a great way to immerse yourself in great food, music, dance, and the traditional dress of the many cultures that make up the Pacific region.
I'm Sinclair, and Nikki and I went along to this year's event to chat to some people who were involved in Polyfest in the Hagley Park this year.
Kia rana, I'm Sarah Thompson. I'm here at Polyfest as a volunteer.
We were just saying how lucky we are to have this, considering what yesterday's rainy, yucky grey day was like. Eh? Oh,
we are definitely lucky. It's a beautiful day, sun's out, everybody needs to get their sunscreen on, and not too much mud around, so we're good.
Now, Sarah's sitting in this really cool vehicle.
Golf cart.
Golf cart, yeah. So what are you up to today? What's your role?
So I'm actually at the front gate, just greeting people, reminding people that this is a koha event, and koha helps the event keep coming back. So any donation, any koha is much appreciated. But while I'm out there, while I'm on the golf cart is I'm helping the stallholders get to their stalls if this their gear's too heavy, or any of our elderly, our kaumātua, taking them out to the front. So there's a few of these golf carts around, just carting around our stallholders, helping them and our elderly.
Because it's a huge field. I mean, we're in North Hagley Park.
Yes.
It's enormous.
It is, and we've got a kaumātua space up at the front, right near the stage, so that we can take them right there, and they can be comfortable and, yeah, see everything and not have to struggle to get to the front of the park.
That's very kind of you. Yeah. It's an important job.
Oh, thank you.
How many Polyfests have you been involved with, Sarah?
I can't remember, Nikki. Quite a bit. So it depends. As a volunteer, probably about 5-6 years. But I used to actually work for one of the stallholders, so I did that for another 6 years. So,
were you a performer as well?
No. I am from Auckland, so I'm not a Cantabrian. So, no, never performed in Christchurch.
Well, look, safe travels on your golf cart, Sarah, and have a great day. And thanks for
Nikki.
Chatting with
That's
me.
That's so good. You're welcome. Thank you. Kia rana. Have a nice day.
I've got Lafaili here, who is at the census stall. Hi, Lafaili. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Which, I'm guessing you are from a Pacifica island. Which one from?
Yep, so I come from the best island of all the islands. I come from Samoa, but I also have ancestry in Tonga.
What makes you say Samoa is the best island of them all?
Well, because it has everything. It's the most vibrant, it's the most colourful, it's in the heart of the Pacific, it's central to everyone and everything, and almost everyone knows a Samoan.
Yeah, that's true. I work at Plains FM and we've got a few Samoan broadcasters yeah. too. I don't know if we've got others, but yeah, we've definitely got a few. So yeah, so what's your favourite thing to do in Samoa?
Well, we've got a place there, we've got a house there, so it's just to go, relax, that's my safe space to just sleep, disconnect from everything and just enjoy the life there. That's my favourite thing.
How often do you go back?
I've been every year since I was 14.
It starts with an L.
So, 5 plus 10 years.
Do you speak Samoan?
Yes, I'm fluent.
Was it your parents who made it sort of like compulsory to learn it, or did you just grow up speaking the language?
So I grew up, my parents were still studying. So my grandparents raised me, and it was a rule that you just don't speak English in the house, which helped. That was my first language. And then when I got to primary school, I was put back 1 year. So I was in reading recovery for 2 years. But that's how I've been able to maintain speaking Samoan, is my grandparents, when you speak to them, they only answer in Samoan and speak to you in Samoan.
Oh, that's lovely, yeah. Because I'm from India, and I didn't necessarily learn the language, so like I miss out on a lot of culture because of that. I find that I miss out on a lot of culture and like bonding with relatives and stuff. That must be quite easy for y'all, right? Like, I mean, everyone gathering together, speaking Samoan at home.
Yeah, it helps that I've got heaps of siblings. When I got to uni, I made heaps of friends because I went to a predominantly Pākehā school. And then when I got to uni, that's where I was able to see more Pacific Islanders, more Samoans, and feel freer and safer to speak the language outside of home.
Oh, that's lovely. So can you tell me a little bit about your stall here today?
So I work for Stats New Zealand. And so last year in 2023, we held the census, the collection of the collection phase of the 2023 census. So basically everyone would have got sent a package in the mail to complete, or they completed the survey online. So we're coming back to the community because that was one of the biggest feedbacks, is please come back to us and tell us when the data is ready. This year from May, that's when the data will start rolling out. So everyone who answered the questions, all of the Pacific Island communities, even some of them for the first time last year who completed the census, they will start seeing the data roll out from May. So we're here just to remind them, hey, don't forget, thank you for partaking in the census last year. Here's the data. This is how, and also on top of that, is we're letting them know this is how you can use it, this is how it can benefit you, your family, your communities, and even your churches and the schools that they go to.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does this data benefit Pacifica families?
So Statistics New Zealand is the main data hub for all of government. So whatever we collect, this all helps, and the data that it provides all helps other government agencies when they make decisions about funding. So when we asked about how do you get to work, is it bus, train, do you drive, that helps Transport New Zealand with how they fund roading, how they fund public transport. When we asked about the makeup of families, that also helps with housing. We asked if they were dry, if they were Māoris, that helps Kāinga Ora with the building of houses. So all of those questions, some of them did seem random, they were all for a reason that helps other government agencies make decisions. So that's why we do it every 5 years, that's why we encourage everyone to partake. And that's why it's important that that data is used by government agencies for Pacific families as well.
Oh, that's amazing. And do you see the data making a difference in day-to-day lives? Like, have you seen the data already being worked on?
So there's an example about, there was a high population of, a growing population of Māori and Pacific in Tokoroa. There was no library and there was no swimming pool, and they wanted a rec centre as well. Because of the 1997 census and the data that came from it, and then the census after that, they were able to go to the council, because councils use the data too, and that's how they were able to fund the build of their rec centre that they have now. So it's those things that help inform decisions, that also help communities be able to fight for, hey, we need a hall here, we need a library, we may need more churches, we need better houses being built. This is the data that helps them.
Yeah. And if you've got a message working for Stats New Zealand for sort of like Māori or Pacifica people, do you have a message or anything like that?
So many messages. I know it's scary. Data seems like this really high technical thing. It isn't. It's basically data. There's a saying that came from last year when we spoke to one of our elders in Timaru. It was, data is the new land. So if you want to be able to have your community, your church, your family get the resources it needs, they need to be seen in the data. And if you're not seen in the data, that means other people are making up or filling up your story with something else. So it's best that our people tell our stories and our data. That's it.
Hey, perfect. That was such an informative interview. Thanks so much for talking to me. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
This is Who Wants to Be a Pack Data Extraordinaire? Census Stats New Zealand. Tato, tato. All of us count.
Which of these is the answer? And if you guys win, you will be the next.
What if we lose?
Tech data extraordinaire. See how important data is and statistics? Very important, eh? A? You want me to lock an A? Okay. Okay.
I told you it was D.
To be the next data extraordinaire, is the answer A? Well done! Well done! Well done! You guys are the only second team to make it right through. Come in.
Can I pick?
Yeah, we'll get through. Well done. Yeah. Well done, well done. Okay, firstly, you all get a bag each. That's the first prize.
I've already
got it. Here we go, here we go. A bag for you. A bag for you.
Something of this.
Can we get a cake and a
Hey, I'm actually after a piece of that and your cake. Can I get a combo of those two?
Oh, of just the slice.
So the slice and a piece of your chocolate cake. Would that be all right?
Yes.
Hello, beauties.
Oh,
oh hey!
Oh, hey!
Hey. I can see your money there, right? Really? To spend
my money there.
Yeah.
And over there.
Yeah.
And over there.
Yes.
And then we've also got our partner, Philetti Persever.
Yes. And also, feel free, make a massive round of applause for our tutors, for our leaders. Round of applause, Christchurch. Yes. It's a lot of hard work to put something like this together, not only for our students on stage, but also the team behind the scenes. Shout out to our mums and dads as well, who've given up time to actually take you to our rehearsals and all of the above. We'll talk more about it throughout the day of who we want to appreciate. But right now, our tutors and our leaders are on stage. Without further ado, please put your hands, your feet, your head together for the next performance that is St. Andrew's College!
Hey, how's it going?
Have I pronounced your name correctly?
Leo.
Nice to meet you. I've just spotted you walking around with a board. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're up to today?
Yeah, so I'm at the Canterbury Polyfest 2024, and I've got my Mapu Maya banner. So Mapu Maya is a Pacific organization that helps support gambling addictions and mental health.
Is this organization from Christchurch?
Yep, so we've got one in Auckland, which is our main headquarters, Hastings, Wellington, and Christchurch.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you just take me through what you're wearing?
So I've got a Kakailan Aikatu on the top. I think some reds and greens in there. Then I've got a green, different shades of green, aloha with a white t-shirt. And then a green Ilava Lava with white socks and some beige shoes. And I've gone all green because our logo was green. So I thought if I can capture someone's attention, they'll come and ask, oh, what do you do? And that's what's happening now.
And that's exactly what happened right now. That's awesome. So which Pacifica island are you from?
Samoa. Yeah.
And I interviewed someone just before this, and they said Samoa is the best of all of the Pacific Islands. Would you agree?
I'd have to say all Pacific Islands are the best.
There you go. That's a diplomatic man. So did you grow up speaking Samoan?
No. So my parents spoke to me in English in the home, but can understand it.
Is it something that you're trying to learn?
Oh, of course. It's always important to give it a shot and try and pick up your culture and language again. Because it's a part of your identity, so it's very important.
Nice. And can you tell me a little bit about what your organization does and how you go out into the community and work with people?
Yeah, so we're just trying to get more awareness out there that there is an organization to help our Pacific community with these issues. And so I'll be rolling out a new program in high schools called Leave Your Mark. That just hones in on, you know, why it's important to talk about our identity, but also around what are the best steps to take to having a better well-being. Have a better well-being in your life. So Yeah, I'm out here running a small competition. If you take a photo off my banner, you enter the draw, and then we've got a food package to give away.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the walking stall is trying to reach as many people.
You're doing a good job. And now you'll be on Plains FM, so... Yeah. How has the reception been among, you know, the youth with the organization? And do you see them being quite receptive about, like, learning about mental health and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've done this kind of work in the past, and so that's why it was important for me to re-enter back into schools. It's a place that I feel comfortable in, and that's my space where I feel I can offer my help and my skill set. And when young people, especially our Pacific young people, hear that someone wants to know more and wants to close the gap, as soon as they feel like they're seen, then the ears go up and they go, actually, I want to listen now. And that's what builds trust. And we can't just assume we're going to get them to come over to us. We've got to meet them halfway. And if they see that, then they can go, oh, yeah, they're making their way, so we'll make our way. Oh, so I'm looking forward to making that first step towards them, so they see, oh yeah, I trust in Mapumaya, and I want to hear what he has to say.
Oh, that's nice. And can you let me know a little bit about your background and how you got into this line of work?
I was doing concreting, so, you know, doing a trade after the quakes, and I'd always been passionate about wanting to just connect with people, and so I'd left and went into being a teacher aide in primary schools, and it just all happened out of nowhere where I ended up with the most disengaged students. And so from there I went into alternative education and then ran some programs in youth prison. And then I just fell in love with just the mahi around being in that space and knowing, you know, you might not be able to change everyone, but even if you get one across the line, it was always worth it.
Oh, that's a stunning message. Hey, thanks so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it, man.
That's cool.
I'm just going to have a chat to Kingdom Kai Eatery. Taste that will truly last.
Hello, how are you?
Kia ora. Hello, tell me about what you're doing here today, please.
Oh, so we are selling island barbecue. We have otai, a refreshing madness otai, and we're also doing a kebabs, which is Filipino, Japanese, and Chinese. So we're all of the Polynesian, Asian food trucks. So we cater for all, not just for one culture, so yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your setup. How did you begin this amazing adventure?
I'll pass it on to my boss.
Yes, we came here yesterday. We just set up at home and come here and then drop it off, and then we went home and then bring on the fresh meat that's already been marinated. And and then we bring it in here and then cook it on site for everyone to come in, see where the food are cooking. And and our fresh drinks as well, made of mango and fresh watermelon as well. And it's dairy free as well, so we're catering for everyone.
You are, that's awesome.
And we're all sisters, so.
So yeah. Tell me your names.
I'm T, this is Ini, this is Neve, and this is Taufa. So, and this is my husband and his, and his cousins as well, coming up to help out.
Yeah. All right, so what would you recommend for people to try?
Everything. Yeah. Have everything.
A great day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Likewise, thank you.
Okay. What are you going to order?
Mango or thai.
Have you had that before? And you know it?
Yeah. Can I have two mango otai, please?
Another two mango otai, you need someone to give it for, please.
What are you going to go for?
Probably a pork kebab.
Have you had one before?
Yeah, I had.
And are you performing today?
Yeah.
I'm Al John.
Yeah, I'm Emerson.
And what school are you from?
Shirley.
Shirley Boys.
Have you been here early?
Yeah, probably more time.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
And have you performed yet?
No, we're like around 2 o'clock, I think.
Okay, yeah. What do you like about Polyfest?
Just the culture, you know, yeah, yes. The culture.
Yep. And the performance, do you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, it's good.
What do you wear when you perform?
I'm not sure yet.
Really?
No.
Is somebody going to bring the costumes?
Yep. Okay. They will look good.
I'm sure you will. Good luck with that.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. So you're the man cooking the fabulous barbecue,
Yes, this
tell me
kebab.
Tell me what you're doing.
Oh, just cooking this barbecue pork kebab. This is some in Asian way is this pork barbecue. But in other way, they say kebab.
You've got a special sauce that you're putting on
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. It depends. Everyone has their own.
And what's yours?
If I tell you, that's for a business.
Oh, that's a secret. Oh, no, everyone. I won't ask anymore. Secret <It's okay>. sauce. I understand, but it looks absolutely delicious. Yeah. So how many of these do you think you'll be making today?
Maybe if we can sell 800 or, oh, sorry, or 1,000. It depends.
Wow. And you would have had a very early start this morning, did you?
Oh, we just started an hour ago.
Okay, not too bad.
Yeah.
So Kingdom Kai Eatery, this looks delicious, smells even better.
Yeah, thank you.
Have fun.
I'm Chris. I'm a SpecPac collective member, and I'm also the vice chair for Needs Trust to do all the financial stuff for the event here today.
Chris, you're the perfect person to talk to about this.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think you know probably all the ins and outs of putting such a huge festival together.
Putting a huge festival together actually starts the day after this one finishes. So, yeah, massive, mammoth, and even today, when we think we've got everything right, we haven't. So it's just one of those things, isn't it? You've just got to be fluid and run with it and hope that everyone's having such a good time that they don't notice.
What we're seeing at the moment are big crowds already, and it's you know, mid-morning.
It's a funny thing, actually. Last year, everyone put their tents up on their Friday night, and a lot of the lighter marquees blew over, some of them into the river over the other side. But the next day, everyone got sunburnt, and I think it's going to be a little bit like that today. I did actually say yesterday, this is going to blow over. The gods will bless us as usual, and he has. She has, they have, and they've given us a beautiful day today.
Tell me about what the day brings. What, I mean, obviously there's lots of food, there's lots of performance, but how do you decide what's going to happen?
The day brings, well, it's pretty coordinated to some degree. So we have 27 schools performing today, but there's actually 24 performances. And we have Tree and One Drop Nation that are also performing after this. And this is probably a little bit of a thank you to all of our volunteers and our stallholders that have worked really hard just to say thank you so they can just stop and relax. So, and what I expect of the day is, as you can see already, huge crowd. Just a lot of people enjoying our amazing culture, but also our amazing kids that are out there performing, some of them for the first time and some of them it might have been their third or fourth year. So, it's just relaxed.
What do you think the students get out of this?
Who doesn't want to be with a bunch of your peers doing something that you love in front of your family and your community? And these kids have been practicing day and night since school started this term, because it doesn't give them a lot of time. So, you know, I think for our kids it's just a really cool way to showcase their culture, and, you know, you can see them on the front, they're just beaming. So, yeah.
I think it must be so cool to see the big screen for the others who are watching in the audience who are getting ready to go up on the stage too. That must be a real buzz for them, the visual side of it.
Well, it's actually a really funny thing. We did have the much bigger stage and a much bigger screen booked for this year. But unfortunately, bigger money speaks. So the sale GP, because their bigger money ended up with our one that we had organised. So, and at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. They're in business, aren't they? So they've got to make money as well. So I think we just need to try and work out how it's going to grow. That's the thing. It's going to grow, and we're hoping it grows further as well. So, you know.
So this is the second year that it's been in Hagley Park, is that right?
Yeah, so it's our second year in the event centre here. Prior to that, we were at the Red Zone down in New Brighton Road, And our very first one that we took out in 2016, 2017 was over at Westminster Park. So it's quite kind of right in the heart of Marihau, which wasn't necessarily very good for all the people that lived around there when it came to parking and stuff like that. Coming in to enjoy it was all good, but yeah. One day we might even be on the other side of the event centre because we're too big for this place. And that's my dream, is that, you know, we probably didn't get as much comms out, but everyone has social media and stuff, so do we really need to print a lot of posters out? Nah, I don't think so. It's gone a little bit viral. A few little things we need to sort out, and that's people's ears so that they listen properly. And probably the parking problem is always a problem here at Hagley, is that we have a lot of older, less able people, and we don't really account for that with the parking here. So.
I spoke with Sarah, who was in one of the golf carts, yeah, and ferrying people to and fro, which is a great idea.
Yeah, well, we have three golf carts, and it's pretty much for that reason. It's for our less able VIPs, and also for our mātua to make sure that they can get on the ground without having to do that long walk, yeah.
And food-wise, what's on the field today that we can sample?
I'm going to say a little bit of everything. What we've tried to do is to respect our environment. So we have a no plastic water. We have water stations on either side. No junk food. So if it's something you can buy at your street corner, it's not something we want here, because it really needs to have a Pacific, and we're talking even Pan Pacific when you think about some of the stalls here. And then the other ones are our information stalls, like UC, Otago University. We've got the libraries here, City Council, things like that, Tangata Tumutu. We've got Moana Bar, our rainbow tent with some activities and stuff over there as well. So I think we've got a really good mixture to cater for everybody.
What is your wish for the future of Pacifica culture going forward?
My wish is that the council, local body, actually give us a home here in Ototahi, which is a place for us, that we don't have to necessarily accommodate all the rules and regulations that come with having it in a big park like a city council park. If we could have our own place, I'm even thinking somewhere in the red zone, if we had a huge big whale with lots of little whales around it, and, you know, Māori can use it, any other cultural place can use it, but it's actually our home. So that's my wish, you know, and it will happen. So we're right for here for now.
Thank you, Sonia.
You're welcome.
Really, really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good day.
I am here with Amanda Clark, who is a woman on the police force. Amanda, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Malo lava so for ma lang ma, yeah, olo ingoa or Amanda Supoanga Clark. Yes, hi, I'm just a bit about myself, as in terms of
just
what I'm doing.
Just who you are, just who you are, and how did you get to be a police officer?
So I actually started back in 2016 in police, and I did what we call a non-sworn staff. So I worked in the firearms department, and then I worked up in the official information area, and then I thought, you know what, I want to go sworn, I want to go blue. So I see that here in Canterbury we're quite limited here with PI Island Women. We don't have many, so I thought, you know, I wanted to be, you know, that push to try and get more women into the force. So I've been in the job for almost over a year now, and I'm enjoying it. It's challenging, but I'm enjoying it at the moment. I've also, outside of work, I've got two children. I've got a 13-year-old and a 4-year-old. I'm also married to a Kiwi boy, Brad. Yeah, so it's quite a busy juggling both work and home as well at the same time. So
wow, that's pretty awesome. And so which Pacifica island are you from?
So I am from Western Samoa. My parents migrated here in the early 60s, I think, yeah. And when they both migrated here, they thought they were coming here to the land of milk and honey. And so it was a struggle for them at first, you know, just with the language barrier. So they had me and my siblings. So we've got, there's four of us all up. So I was born and bred here in Christchurch, but before I went to school, I didn't know how to speak a word of English. So I had to learn because my parents only spoke Samoan at home.
Okay.
So that was the only, yeah, so as soon as I started school, I had to, yeah, learn how to speak English. And
I was actually going to ask you, because you gave that introduction in Samoan, I was going to ask you, was it your parents that sort of made you learn Samoan as you're growing up and gave like a lot of, like just expected you to learn the language, but now it's the opposite way around and you would learn English? Like,
yeah.
Was that sort of like challenging when you're getting into school and stuff?
Oh, yeah, 100% challenging just going to school. And I don't really remember, you know, the early years of my schooling, but I know that Mum and Dad said it was a bit of a struggle for me to try and communicate between the teachers. And but you know, we got there at the end. I think that is the majority of islanders, is that they start with what their parents know and then filter it to their children.
Oh.
And then it's really up to the school system to teach them how to speak them, you know, speak yeah. English. So
okay, yeah. And so growing up, did you always expect, did you always aim to be a police officer, or was there something else?
No, not at all. Not at all. When I left school, I finished right up until year 13. I attended Marian College, and I absolutely struggled through schooling in terms of the education side of things, but Mum and Dad would not let me finish, you know, not let me finish it until I finished year 13. So anyways, I went on to working in the airline business. So I worked as a ground handler, and I wanted to be a flight attendant. Okay. I don't know why, I just wanted to be one. And so and then I got kind of bored of it. So I don't know why I've ended up where I am. I know that the reason why is because maybe I just wanted to make my parents proud. And also just it's proven that it is possible for any PI, anyone with ethnic background, that they can join the force, you know. It is challenging at times, but we need that diverse as well in the force. Yeah. But no, I'm here.
Do you see a lot of women sort of now entering the force? Like, do you do outreach programs and stuff like that where you go out into communities and you try and get more women or more diverse folk into the police or the PI, yeah. That, like you say?
I think at the moment they're utilising me a lot in the police force. Just try and encourage those who are PI, especially women, to come into the force. At the moment, I'm working frontline. So frontline, we attend a lot of the family harm jobs, a lot of sudden deaths, and you know, just youth crime and all that. And that's what I'm dealing with at the moment. But if I'm in need of, you know, anyone that wants to talk about how I got to where I am, then yeah, I'm just a call away, and they just call on me to come and attend like things like Polyfest and
yeah.
So.
Oh, such an inspiration though, super cool. Now since we're at Polyfest, can you let me know what your installation is about today? I see a few things happening. You'll have got some VR headsets at the side over there. Could you explain to me what is happening here?
So at the moment, we're just in front of our hub area. So our hub is normally used during, our community hub is normally taken through areas that are low decile, who we try and approach and build that confidence, build that trust and confidence. So this is kind of like our go-to. So on our right here, we've got what we call the vertical jump, and this is what we have to do prior to going to college, and it's our PAT, it's part of our PAT testing. So if you're wanting to join the police, this is one of the criteria that you have to do, is to try and jump a certain height depending on your BMI and your height level as well. So report that along as well for those who want to experience, because some people actually don't know what the criteria is.
How high did you go?
I am very short, so I had to jump, I don't know, I don't actually remember, it's been, I think quite high, but...
She's being modest, she's quite tall, she's taller than me!
I'm very short for my height. And then we've got our detectives here as well, who, we've got two detectives in Canterbury who are both PI, and so they've come along as well to just, you know, just... be here and show people that we have people in different areas within police, not just frontline. and join in with the day today.
Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate you taking the time off, and it's awesome to see what you're doing. Oh, seriously.
Thank you so much for having me.
I tried to get all of the other detectives on board to do this media interview, but all of them were like, no, Amanda's the one you got to talk to. I spoke to her, and she's a real inspiration. So thanks again, Amanda, honestly.
It was a stitch up.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Falava. My name's Lana Shields, and I'm the operations coordinator of Moana Va Navigators of Pacific Pride.
Lana, it's so great to see this tent here with all your beautiful colleagues. Moana Va has a very special kaupapa. Can you just explain what that is?
So we provide a safe space for Pacific Rainbow LGBTQIA plus MVP FAF plus community. So that is our rainbow community, and we focus on our Pacific Islanders, but we all flavours welcome is our slogan, so we look after whoever we can. We focus also on families of the rainbow community, so we're made up of parents, nieces, uncles, aunties that have rainbow, Pacific rainbow people involved in their family, and we support them as well. So we run lots of different workshops, we run community events, so fun events, things that people can come and connect with us, engage, have some fun. Everything we do is quite positive. Otherwise, if you want to stay behind closed doors, you can just follow us on Facebook or Instagram. But yeah, we're just about connection.
It's been a while emerging, this kind of open discussion and showcasing of the rainbow community for Pacifica. Tell me about your interest in this. Where does it come from?
Oh, so I am a mother of a rainbow child who's now 31 years old, so not so much a child, and I'm actually a grandmother of them as well. So very proud. But I've saw the struggles that my daughter went through growing up and as a member of the rainbow community. So, and then we connected, a lot of us connected, and realised that we had struggles because of our culture, our religion, the layers of discrimination that we have against, you know, either being rainbow or being Pacific or being brown. And we just felt that there needed to be a support group of some kind, or, you know, just a connection, because we tend to isolate ourselves quite a lot. So we just want people to be themselves and, you know, be their true selves, and they can be around us at Moana Va.
And it's exciting for us at Plains FM, because now there is a Moana Va radio show and podcast.
Too fat fine. Yeah. So one of them's my daughter, Alex, and the other one is Mama. Yeah, so they are really good balance to together, because one's very outgoing and the other one's a bit shy. So, but they're very proud of who they are and their identities, and they want to show that to other people and engage with others, you know, and say, you know, just be you and hang out with us and talk to us and try and talk, you know, have some really rich conversations about being rainbow and being proud.
Who would you say are your supporters in the community?
Our families are our supporters, so, and we're all, every person is connected to a family, so yeah, and yeah, we've had a lot of support through the different organisations as well, the other Pacific organisations, Ministry for Pacific People, Ministry of Health, you know, so people are realising that we are part of every community. So we've had a lot of support, it's been great.
Is there education in schools these days, or what is happening in that environment?
So what I'm finding in schools is the actual students are pulling together rainbow groups themselves, because, yeah, it's not on the curriculum or anything like that. And then their teachers are supporting them as well. So that's another part of our work as well, is to go into schools and just talk to them and say, you know, you're one of us, or, you know, we can help you, and provide resources as well. But I really admire the students these days. They're really brave, and they are happy to just form their own groups, and which is fantastic.
One of the things that I was delighted to see was actually performance, like court theatre shows featuring rainbow community people, which was awesome. I mean, when has that happened, you know, in the last 20 years.
Well, that's it. It's about raising awareness. People just need to see that we're human beings. We're just as normal as anyone else. But we tend to showcase it a bit more to say we have talent, you know, we're skilled. We're around you. Everyone is connected to someone in the rainbow community, so why not accept them and go to their shows and, you know, that kind of stuff, yeah.
This is amazing. Do you know much about it?
It's Cook Island. So Tom is our model today, and he's wearing the traditional Cook Island cultural wear. But because I'm Samoan, I don't know the proper words for them. But yeah, but we actually got one of our members, who is Cook Island, who runs our sewing classes, to make these for us. She's one of our mamas, and does a lot of creative work for us.
It's beautiful. I mean, there's the most amazing elaborate headgear in this gorgeous green. Yellow flowers, feathers, weaving, and this incredible grass, I guess, skirt, and then a high belted arrangement, which I don't even know how to describe, really.
So they're not normally that colourful. She made it specifically rainbow, putting in all the colours. So
I think I'm going to have to get a photo.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for your time. That's awesome. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
And trying to describe your outfit. Tell me something about this.
It's very colourful. Lots of feathers.
And is it a belt?
Yeah, so it's just kind of velcroed on.
And it kind of gives you a broader look, doesn't it? It's like you've got a horizontal kind of part to the outfit. It's awesome.
Yeah,
and your headgear is extraordinary.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Did you want to take a photo now?
Love to take a photo, yes. Let's do that.
I love that.
Hi, my name is Tamisi, half Tongan, half Niuean.
Oh,
Malolele. Yeah, I'm 22 years old, studying engineering at UC.
Wow, and so today you're here with a UC tent.
Yeah, we parked up near the stage so that we could get involved with a lot of the students, trying to get them coming in and, making use of a lot of the resources we have. there's a program called UCMeXL, and it's just trying to help some of the students throughout the holiday in July, give them some tutoring, free food, and just helping them out with their TEA, but also get to connect with them and maybe just open up opportunities around uni that they might not have otherwise seen. Yeah, so I'm in my fourth year of mechanical engineering.
What was the path that led you to that?
I think I struggled with languages, like, because I grew up in New Caledonia, and it's a French colony, so a lot of my schooling was in French, and I struggled with, like, writing English reports, but numbers always made sense, and physics was, like, you can see it in the everyday life, and there were just things that made sense to me at the time, so I'm just lucky that I get to do engineering. It was a good opportunity, they made a lot of money, and UC was really good at it from what I heard, so, yeah, tried my best.
What sort of mechanical engineering are you interested in?
I was looking into biomedical because I did 1 year down in Otago doing health science. So there's a bit of overlap there, but I know my sister also did medicine. She was kind of someone I looked up to and someone I had a lot of respect for. So.
And where is she practicing medicine now?
She's now in Hawke's Bay, but looking at shifting over to Cairns, Australia, just because we have, like, one of my brothers lives there with his family.
What do you think it is that stops young Pacifica from coming to university? What are the barriers that you see?
That's a great question. I don't know if my perspective is... Yeah, I wouldn't know because I never grew up in New Zealand. So I don't know what the environment they grew up in was like. I think for me, environment does shape a lot of what you do and who you are. It's the reason why I get to be where I am. And I've just been really fortunate with the people that I've had surrounding me. Mom and dad came through uni. My grandparents, even my grandfather used to... My grandfather was a doctor, came through Otago to specialise in, I can't remember what optometry is, I'm not too familiar. But I've had a really good environment that's always encouraged, like, I guess, more learning.
But you must have come across some other students who maybe didn't have the same pathways as you did in their study.
Well, I guess it's always, like, oftentimes I see a lot of, like, limiting beliefs in what they can do. I think for me that just seems to be a common thing, not necessarily like just around Pacifica people, but just people in general that don't go to uni. The excuse I often hear is that, like, oh, I'm not smart enough for that kind of stuff, I'm just not an academic. A lot of people have the ability to learn. I just think maybe they weren't given the space that others have. Like, it's just so much easier if you come in a space that's like that have the understanding of, like, how to teach and how to create a space of learning. Not everyone's as fortunate, and there's, like, a lot of money does tend to help that kind of stuff. I think spaces with a lot more money have a lot more resources available. They can create spaces that encourage learning, that in turn creates people that are wanting to learn. If you don't have the money, then you don't have people, like, as good at creating their space, and I think it just encourages that, like, disparity between rich and poor.
What about as far as support for Pacifica students goes at uni?
I think it's amazing. I think there's a lot of stats around what we do. There was an interesting stat I came across at the start of this year where there's a higher percentage of Pacifica dropping out of university than there are of, like, I guess the university cohort in general. The exact reason why is, like, I don't think we know why yet, but what they are trying to do is that they're trying to help just with equity around that. Try to make sure that students coming in feel supported enough to want to stay, also helping them understand the resources available to them. I think university also understands that it's a struggle, but, like, the fact that they understand that there's, like, struggle around that, they're always willing to help support. I think I've been a benefactor of that.
And I'm sure that, you know, the more Pacifica students that are saying, well, this is what I'm seeing, can help with those issues as well, to inform the university to improve their services or to help improve the services.
Yeah, I think they've done a great job. They have scholarship programs now that run through the summer, helping high school students transferring into university, help them find family and friends. I think that's a very big pillar around Pacifica culture. Like, family and, like, community. I mean, as you can see around here, you know, like, they all kind of roll around in groups and, you know, they feel a lot more comfortable, they feel more at home.
Yeah.
And I think UC's seen that, and they want to encourage that, and they have that running throughout the year and over the summer.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with me. I know it's not easy to have a microphone stuck in your face.
No. It feels more like a normal conversation. And these are things I think about heaps, so I appreciate you giving me the space to talk about it, yeah.
Sinclair and I had a great time catching up with people at Polyfest 2024.
We'd like to thank these people who happily agreed to talk to us on the day.
Sarah, a Polyfest volunteer.
Lifale from Census NZ.
The Kingdom Kai Eatery Peeps.
Leo from Mapu Maia.
Chris from Specpack.
Two Shirley Boys High students, Meljon and Emerson.
Amanda from New Zealand Police.
The Cake Makers from the Pacific Women's Group.
Lana and Tom from Moanava.
And last, Simisi, a fourth-year student from the University of Canterbury.
We'd like to play a cool song from Te Waka to finish up. This is Patte Patte.
Until next time,
chi-ho!
Yetu. Yeah.